Blog Talk Radio.
I marvel that you are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and will pervert the gospel of Christ.
BLCC, your mission is bring out the truth, expose these devils for the liars that they are. Shalom.
Here we go. Salvation is near, but is it clear? What are you following? The doctrine of some hollow men leading to destruction. Then what you gonna do when you realize the lies? Open up your eyes. Oh my surprise, the mission really begins in Isaiah 8 and 10. If they're not speaking according to scriptures, why are we listening? They say they're men of the Lord, but their Lord is Satan. Salvation forsaken, Christ the hating. The Lord is gonna stop them, but false is the doctrine. The last days are perilous times, but we'll survive them when we ask some questions and get the right answer. Are you smarter than your pastor?
Tune in to Are You Smarter Than Your Pastors, where we examine things said by men and women claiming to be God's ministers to reveal whether or not they are speaking God's word and doing His will. Tuesdays at 8 o'clock p.m. Eastern Standard Time on blogtalkradio.com/the BOCC. Shalom.
Shalom, all. I'm your host, Brother Kevin Gabbar. And we have a live version of Are You Smarter Than Your Pastor show that comes on Tuesday nights at 8 o'clock. Normally, we've taken a hiatus for a while, but we're back here in full effect. what we're going to deal with today is we're going to go over some scriptures concerning the issue of voting and how we as a people have to understand that picking between two evils, we're still choosing evil. So when we look at the understanding that comes out of the scriptures, we have to get an understanding that we have to look to what's going to remedy our problems. And a lot of our people have a hard time understanding that when we return to the Lord, that that's where our problem is going to be remedied, and that's where we're going to get relief of our problems. So I got a co-host with me here. Brother Kabbar, you want to introduce yourself before we go into this thing?
Yes. Shalom to you, brother. Shalom to all the brothers and sisters listening. It's definitely good to be back on Are You Smarter Than Your Pastor? For the opportunity to bring forth the doctrine of the Most High, the scriptures as it is written, and to get edification according to the word of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Shalom.
Hey, shalom. Just another housekeeping thing. The chat line is also open for anyone that would like to ask a question in the chat line or make remarks, comments. Chat line is open. So all you have to do is sign into the site, and then you can have that chat room. The title of today's topic is, once again, Are You Smarter Than Your Pastor? Picking the Less of Two Evils Equal Picking Evil. With this U.S. presidential election, a lot of people, especially black and brown people, are voting and saying we have to vote. The two running for the office of presidents have serious issues and flaws. Black and brown people overwhelmingly lean toward Hillary Clinton and the Democratic Party. But what we're going to do is we're going to discuss, like, when we vote, what are we choosing? We have to look at what's being chosen. So, we're going to make this real easy. We're going to examine. I said there's two people running for office, but we can make this real easy for our people. Donald Trump, he's a racist. That's it. We don't have to deal with anything else because that's where our people are. Donald Trump is a racist. You got anything else you want to add to that? Come on.
And he used the word pussy, as in pussycat.
Okay.
and then that's it, bro. I can't think of anything else besides those two.
Okay. So Now, before we get started, we have to use the disclaimer. We're not Donald Trump clones or advocates or disciples. So let's put that out there. But we know with our people, they've been really, 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 their minds have been infiltrated through a lack of understanding of what really counts, to really easily dismiss things as being racist or flawed in some other kind of way, right? So we don't even have to discuss Trump, but we're going to discuss a lot about Hillary Clinton, her husband, and the Democratic Party and some of the things going on with them, because that's where our people's loyalties lie. For overwhelmingly, not all, because we can't say it's like this monolithic group that just thinks one way or whatever, but not all, but overwhelmingly. Would you agree with that, Brother Kamau?
Oh, definitely. If you just look at it statistically, 94% of black people, especially from 1965 going forward, have voted on a Democratic ticket. So.
Okay, very good. Okay, so now that we got that all out of the way, what we're looking at is we're looking at a people that have history of oppression, right? And throughout history, just in our short history, we'll just deal with this country. We, for the most part, black and brown people have been oppressed in this country. We're talking about, when I say black and brown people, I mean people of color. We talk about the indigenous people that were already in this country. They got overrun and oppressed. You have so-called black people, so-called Hispanic people. They were overrun and oppressed. Cargo slavery, so on and so forth. And that system of oppression still exists. But when you talk to most of our people, they would have you think that it's the white man is the reason that we're oppressed, not really truly understanding that oppression in this earth is one of the reasons or is a cause for us to have some semblance of understanding of who we are in this earth, because the Bible says so. And that's one thing to see, because when you look at it, right, a lot of things that we deal with, people come at it from a very ignorant standpoint. And you know what? I want to start off with a scripture first. And this is not to insult anyone. It's just to deal with the situation that we're dealing with. So I'm going to go and read something, brother, before we get into these clips and continue on. Let's have a baseline understanding. Hosea 4, I'm going to read verse 6. It reads, "My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Because thou hast rejected knowledge, I will also reject thee. That thou shalt be no priest to me, seeing that thou hast forgotten the law of thy God, I will also forget thy children." So what the scripture is showing us is that there's a certain people on this earth that have been forsaken by their very God that brought them forth. And because of that, because of what we've done, he's punished us and left us in this condition because we reject anything righteous and holy. You deal with a lot of these people, especially these Ankhwan people, that really gets me into Egyptology, Kemetic science, Nubian thought, all these different things, Afrocentric thought, so on and so forth. They have a understanding that this Bible that we're talking about and reading out of is some devious trickery book written by the white man, right? And that is put here to trick us, but basically it's a deflection of their deflection is of the deflection of what really is. All those so-called archaeological records that you got and your scholarship that you got to back or support the philosophies that you in came to trick you. And we're not going to really get into that, but that's just what it is and what we're dealing with. So when we look at this thing about the voting and why we in the condition that we're in, why we come from a position of of slavery, oppression, so on and so forth. And is it anything in this setup or this society, like voting, that's going to remedy our situation? Those are the kind of things that we have to look at, because now we had all kind of laws and legislative acts to so-called give us some semblance of freedom as we see it in this country. You had the Emancipation Proclamation, which really didn't do anything. 13th Amendment, that really didn't. You had to bring that with 14th and the 15th Amendment, the then voting rights and all the other different things that happened, make us a somewhat of a free citizen exercising with all the rights of citizenry and the laws applying to us. But if the voting rights in the 15th Amendment really worked, why in 1965, when I was 4 years old, did they have, or 64, when I was 3 or 4 years old, one of those years, did they have to sign a Civil Rights Legislative Act for voters' rights? If these things really help, and we continue to put our faith and trust in the system and not where it's supposed to be. On some of the things I mentioned about, we ain't getting to it real heavy. You have any commentary or anything? And if you want to make a comment, just interrupt me when you feel the need to. Go ahead, Kabar. You got something you want to add?
Yeah, no. You know, you're going into some of the main points. And, you know, as we go through the scriptures and get the edification out of the word of the Lord, we see there's a recurring theme or pattern that happens with our people. And the main pattern that you'll see with our people is that we always are looking to some man, some person, somebody to save us or to lift us out of the conditions that we're in. We always think that our problems are physical and external rather than spiritual and internal. And you'll see that pattern all throughout scripture, and you see it even now today.
Okay, good. So now, what we'll deal with this is, let's delve into this for a little understanding about something. Let me go here. Bear with me for a second. We get into this thing with voting, right? And just an indication of, we do it because, I mean, I've been getting posts and texts and Facebook posts about if Trump wins, we're going to be picking cotton again and all these other things. Like, it really matters, right? So a lot of people think that, you know, we should vote for someone like, you know, Hillary Clinton, Democrat. And some people just like go straight down the Democratic ticket, right? So I want to play something, right? And this is going into what are you picking? Because one of the things we want to discuss when you say, well, no one's perfect, we have to pick the less of the two evils. And our question, or what we want to get people to understand, is what will you be choosing or what will you be picking? Will you be picking this? I'm going to play a clip of Hillary Clinton when she was the Secretary of State. And it was her job to set America's foreign policy in place. She would be the reason why, you know, we would go invade countries or not invade countries, or establish the understanding of why we're going to war, if we should or not, so on and so forth. And I want to play this clip about something that she said. I want everybody to pay attention. It's real short, because we're going into what are we picking. Now, with Donald Trump, there's a lot of speculation about things that he's done and what he's, but there's no real political history on him. But we have a lot of political history on Hillary, and we should be able to discern what we're picking when we're picking her. So I want to play this clip, and let's listen to this clip.
Yes, we came, we saw, he died. Yes, we came, we saw, he died.
What is basically, I guess, a kind of summary execution, or what may well have been a summary execution, is a kind of fairly barbaric end to what I believe was a very barbaric operation from the start.
Yes, we came, we saw, he died.
So you heard Hillary Clinton, and I played it in there, put it in there a couple of times. We came, we saw, and he died, and she laughed. And what the gentleman with the British accent was explaining, that it was a barbaric, like, assassination, execution, if you will, of a certain subject, right? So we know it was Muammar Gaddafi. That's what she was talking about. When she was the Secretary of State, for some reason, her and Obama got some bug up their butt that Muammar Gaddafi was the worst thing in the world, worse than Hitler. And they got this bug up in their butt so bad, they roused up with a lot of money and ammunition, weapons and so on and so forth, sent it to the rebels. Basically, they were training the people to depose Muammar Gaddafi over there, and they killed him. Basically what happened, they, and it's all over the internet, that's how you know it's true, the rebels ended up overcoming him and his forces, ended up, and some of the reports said they actually sodomized him, tortured him, and then killed him, right? And this woman's response to it was, we came, we saw, and he died, ha, 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 ha. It was funny. Now, when you really check the story, it wasn't the fact that Muammar Gaddafi was some evil demon, and I don't know what the man was, or what he, I know what he wasn't, not what they said. He was over there in that country, and what he was doing, he was rallying the countries in Africa to come up with their own currency, do their own trading, and get out of the U.S. petrodollar, which would have affected the finance and the petrodollar, meaning the dollar that's connected to the oil over there in the Middle East. That's why he really had to die. He had the money to back it up. So what happened was, this woman, under the guidance or authority of Barack Obama, another black folks' favorite politician, basically executed this man for nothing, left his country in shambles, left it as a place of refuge, and the genesis of what they call now ISIS or ISIL, which ain't nothing but Al-Qaeda. When he was alive, all of the terrorists over there in that area were in check, because he made sure they were. Stole his money, because he had something like $425 billion worth of gold that he was going to invest in his country and get everybody on the same currency, right? So this is the kind of thing that you get for someone that we as a people overwhelmingly have this lovingly attitude about. Kabar, you got anything to say about that last clip I just played?
Yeah, I mean, the other aspect of that same story that you talking about, when you bring in the Benghazi aspects, that she had the congressional hearings over, and the attack that happened over there. When you get to the backstory, basically what you find out, not only through congressional testimony, the WikiLeaks, so on and so forth, is that the U.S. even to today, even in Syria with Aleppo, is that they were backing rebel forces. They were calling them, you know, democratic-friendly rebel forces, but you find out that these groups that the U.S. was giving military and arms to wind up being Muslim Brotherhood in what you call now ISIS, because ISIS now is just simply an amalgamation of Al-Qaeda. Now, what people don't understand about ISIS is not just, you know, Muslim people or Middle Eastern people. ISIS actually is an amalgamation of Europeans, Africans, Middle Easterners. It's basically like the Middle Eastern arm of Blackwater or something like that. It's like a paramilitary group that's being funded and used basically as a proxy army to destabilize the region. So when you start doing deep research, you find out that Hillary's State Department was basically arming these people, calling them, you know, democratic rebels or the opposition in these countries, in order to give them a cover to bring in military arms, to bring in, you know, all types of heavy machinery, so that they can prosecute this war, not only in the region of Benghazi, but also in the region of Syria and other parts of the world over there. So you have a lot of corruption going on. And really what you have now going on with the possible presidency of Hillary Clinton is a continuation of those type of clandestine activities going on, which will spread into Somalia, which will spread into Turkey, which will spread into all of these other regions when you start looking into basically the plan in that region. That was it.
Good, very good. Very good. Now, the whole, a lot of it is this, and when I read the scripture about how we are destroyed because of a lack of knowledge, you know, that was mainly going to the scriptures. But overwhelmingly, though, when you look at our people, they're not really, I guess I don't want to say just dumb, but they're not really abreast of current events. And what's so foolish about that is all you have to do is go on Google. We have to do it before they find somewhere to shut down the internet, because that's somewhat coming. Because in this is like the information age on steroids nowadays. See, with our people, if it ain't on CNN, Fox, NBC, MSNBC, your local news carrier that's affiliated with something like that, they won't deal with it or they won't believe it. Because those entities are controlled. All the news, for the most part, is controlled by six companies, right? So why did you look, if you look at CNN and Fox, you look at what's being said, it's the same thing, because they're reading off a teleprompter from something that they got from Associated Press. So it's a lot of programming going on, like Donald Trump's a racist with no proof. See, you look at our people, right? Well, I'm trying to figure out what's wrong with Donald Trump. Oh, he's a racist. Okay, so what did he? No, he's a racist because, mostly in part, the news said he was a racist. Hillary is a fixer, and she's an outstanding woman. She's for women's issues. Why? Because the news said it. And that's where our people really got to get above that ignorance of just believing what they're being programmed to understand, right? So now, let me read something real quick.
Can I just add to that point real quick?
Go ahead.
Because you take the notion of, well, he's a racist. And really, it's a lot of talking points going on. And we know through the WikiLeaks that Hillary, especially the Podesta leaks, which is Hillary Clinton's campaign manager or CEO.
Right.
And when you look at those leaks, what all your major networks, NBC, NBC, CNN, MSNBC,
ABC, CBS,
ABC and CBS, these people, especially CNN among those groups, were actually clearing their talking points. Well, actually, they was getting memo talking points from the Hillary campaign on how stories are going to be framed and what the talking points are going to be, whether it was coming out of debates, whether it was Donald Trump's tweet, how the story was going to be framed. And it's word for word, every channel you turn to, it's the same exact talking point in the same exact order. So that's
right.
One thing. Number two, going into that lack of knowledge. Here it is. When you go back, I don't know, maybe in the 80s and in the 90s, Jesse Jackson commended Donald Trump for the amount of black people that he was hiring and employing.
Right.
Okay? But you don't hear anything about that. So So Donald Trump's a racist, even though he's being commended by a black man that everybody follows and say he's so good for employing black people. But Hillary's not a racist when she say black people are super predators and need to be brought to heel, and her husband signed a bill that put a generation of black men in jail.
Exactly. Well, we're rallying it. But see, even he started back in Arkansas when you do the research. A lot of people don't know that three strikes you out rule was something that he pretty much came up with and pushed in Arkansas back in the day. It locked a lot of black and brown people up in Arkansas. But, you know, the thing about it is, akin with being destroyed for a lack of knowledge, not really getting to the understanding that we should be following, thus saith the Lord, it causes us to have these conditions placed upon us. And the thing about it is this, why we find ourselves at the bottom of the bucket, at the bottom of the tail instead of the head, is because we don't understand and identify with our maker and what the remedies are, because we've been taught to believe everything but the truth. You know, our people will deal with anything, absolutely anything, but the Most High Christ in his Bible won't do it. Not the right way, not as it is written. What do we do? I'm going to read something here. Something that Jeremiah said was wrong with us back then, and it still applies to today. What is it? It says here in Jeremiah 17, verse 4, "And thou, even thyself, shalt discontinue from thine heritage that I gave thee." So it says we're going to discontinue from the heritage that he gave us, because the legacy of that is us calling ourselves Mexican, Puerto Rican, Dominican, black, Afro-European, Afro-Canadian, Jamaican, St. Lucian, Trinidadian, and yada, 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 yada. That's the legacy. We've discontinued from the heritage that we were given by our God. Why? Because we rejected his ways and his word. So he said he was going to put us in a condition what we find ourselves in, not knowing who the hell we are, naming ourselves after land masses. Or what people named us. The biggest one is a West Indian. What the hell is that? Some dude that was lost, that's promoted as a great explorer, gave you that name and you accept it. Indians. Some dude that was lost his way, couldn't navigate his way out of a wet paper bag. And we accept that name. That's what we are. American. African American. Well, I don't want to be called African American. I'm American. Right? That's a landmass. Africa is a landmass. The heritage means that you come from a family in the earth. And all we can say, oh, we're African. That is what really ridiculously simple. And as simple as hell, we have to wake up and get ourselves out of that mindset. So what did he say? "And thou, even thyself, shalt discontinue from thy heritage that I gave thee. And I will cause thee to serve thine enemies in the land which thou knowest not. For ye have kindled a fire in my anger, which shall burn forever." The reason he's saying this is because this is us going into the captivity during the Babylonian captivity. But the reason those curses are still upon us, why? Because he still has that anger, because we haven't turned, and we'll read the scripture later on, from that. We haven't turned away from that. We still go headlong into what? These places where we serving our enemies, that's oppression, whether you know it or not. That's the reason we ended up in chattel slavery from the Babylonian period until we came over here to this very day. We're on the bottom serving our enemies till this day, because friends and loved ones do not do the things that the world does to this certain people in the earth, whether you in Mexico or whether you in Great Britain. I'm telling you all the places I've been and seen our people. Great Britain, Mexico, America, Jamaica, Trinidad, Dominican Republic, that's the worst. Jamaica and Dominican Republic is probably the worst that I've seen. Well, Mexico is there too. The worst I've seen our people in the condition. Because when we go to those places, we don't go to the resorts. That's what you have to understand. we go to see where our people are suffered under these curses, not knowing why. So when we read this, it says, I will cause thee to serve thy enemies in the land which thou knowest not, for ye have kindled a fire in my anger, which shall burn forever. Then it goes on to verse 5. This is our problem. Thus saith the Lord, cursed be the man that trusteth in man, and maketh flesh his arm, and whose heart departeth from the Lord. Check that out. Your heart, mind, departs from the Lord when you do anything but him. When you, oh, we got to vote. We've been marching and voting since Selma. Then we were walking around with signs saying, I am a man. Now we walk around with signs saying, Black Lives Matter. What's the issue, Kabar? Same damn issue, ain't it?
Exactly.
And we still marching. Because why? We departed from our Maker and his understanding and turned from our Lord. Our minds aren't on the Lord. Even when we so-called open the Bible and go to church, we're doing every damn thing wrong. We're doing it on the wrong damn day. We're doing it the wrong way, not understanding. It's a heritage that comes with these scriptures. Because why wouldn't this heritage be attached when it comes to dealing with our God according as it is written? Why wouldn't it be attached when he's saying you're going to discontinue from your heritage? So this word and the God that gave it had a heritage that he gave a certain people, that he gave this Bible. That's why the scripture is reading the way it's reading. What do our people say? No. You black Hebrew Israelites, why do y'all keep talking about that? First of all, I never said I was a black Hebrew Israelite. Black is a color. I don't know where that came, man. That's some more foolishness that people label themselves with, colors and land masses. I come from a family in the earth. And when I look at the Bible from the descriptions of the things that people that look like me and my family have gone through, this is the heritage, according to the Bible, what they would call the Hebrew Israelites. Not a landmass, a family in the earth. From the genealogy of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the 12 sons, that's what people come from, their family line, their lineage, not a landmass. This is the thing that we have to understand. What do? We trust in man, anything but the Bible. Oh, we got to vote. Martin Luther King, he's got the answer. Malcolm X, Marcus Garvey, right? Karange, he's going to give us a holiday. What's that? Hanukkah. Obama can do it. Now, Hillary. It says what? Cursed be the man that trusts in man and maketh flesh his arm, and whose heart departeth from the Lord. Our problem is not the rate at which we vote. Our problem is at the rate that we won't repent and turn back to the Lord and his word. Because whether you realize it or not, the white man is not the cause of us being in slavery and oppression upon oppression. Whether we was dealing in the Roman, when he came into power through the Greeks and the Romans up until this present day, it wasn't because of him and his power and that he's great. It was God through his what? Punishments of us as a people that we still suffer the things that we suffer, because he wants us to understand he's the only way out. We have to turn to him. So he's talking to them going into Babylon, but it's the same people dealing with the same things to this day. Why? Because we haven't turned. You want to say something to that, Kabar?
Exactly. Because, you know, whether it's, you know, in the 60s, you're saying that we're a man. I mean, before that, you know, we was considered three-fourths of a man or three-fifths of a man. And now, you know, we're trying to get our identity, or whether we're at, you know, Black Lives Matter. I mean, you see this constant desire and effort to have our oppressors acknowledge us and give us worth. It's not going to happen. And who cares what somebody else thinks? It's not about that. But let's read the scriptures and find out where we're going to get our worth from and how we actually get ourselves established as a people in this earth. When you read Isaiah chapter 58, I start at verse 13, it says, if thou turn away thy foot from the Sabbath, from doing thine own pleasure on my holy day, and call the Sabbath a delight, the holy of the Lord honorable, and shall honor him, not doing thy own ways, nor finding thy own pleasure, nor speaking thine own words. So the Lord is referring to one of his commandments, which is the Sabbath day, the seventh day of the week that the Lord designated for us to set aside for him to worship the Lord and to keep the Sabbath day holy and for it to be a memorial and a remembrance unto him, to show that connection between his people and him, all right? So he wanted us to acknowledge that and to do that, to basically keep his commandments. Verse 14, if we did that, right, if we acknowledged, repented from our sins, acknowledged the Lord, and if we did that, what would be the result? Verse 14, then shalt thou delight thyself in the Lord, and I will cause thee to ride upon the high places of the earth, and feed thee with the heritage of Jacob thy father. So you were speaking about the heritage and about that seed line and what family of people you come from. And the scripture is showing you that it's the heritage of Jacob. Abraham, Isaac, Jacob. Jacob had the 12 sons. The 12 sons had descendants, and we are of those descendants of the 12 sons of Israel. Jacob's name was changed to Israel. It says, feed thee with the heritage of Jacob thy father, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken it. So when we return to the Heavenly Father, that's where we get our understanding. That's where we find out who we are as a people, what our heritage is, where we belong. And not only that, the Most High is going to give us our worth. The Most High is going to establish us in the high places of the earth that we see all the other nations inhabiting today. And we are on the bottom. So it's not about protesting. It's not about voting, because none of that's going to get you your freedom and establish you in the higher places. What's going to do that is actually repenting through Christ now, receiving the grace and mercy of the Heavenly Father, seeking his faith by applying his commandments and following that example laid down through Christ. That's going to put us in the higher places.
So we ain't got to do what you just said. Christ came and said we ain't got to keep those commandments.
That's the problem.
So why the cops shooting us though?
Exactly.
You know what I mean? This is what they'll tell you. Oh no, we don't have to do that. We don't have no heritage. That heritage you talk about, that's the Jew and Gentile alike. That's what the good Lord says, and that's all straight foolishness. Matter of fact, to show you that this was a perpetual. Now, we just read, right? You just read about our stubbornness. Now, I was reading in Jeremiah where we were going and went into captivity amongst the Babylonians and how we trusted man and we won't turn to the Lord. Anything but the Most High Christ in the Bible. Anything.
Yeah.
If I was to say, and I hate to get graphic like this, but you know how I am, bro. I was to say, I had a dream and a vision, and I found some cow manure in my yard, and the Lord showed me that it was holy, and I built a shroud around it and put some lights around it and made it look good, put some pearls on the front of the shroud and made it look nice. I guarantee you I can get a congregation in short time to worship cow doo-doo. Because that's how our people are, bro. Anything but the scriptures. Because when you do things like go into Egyptology and you're dealing with the mysticism of the Babylonian mysticism and Egyptology and all this other foolishness, where you have falcon-faced gods with men bodies and falcon faces and Maat with feathers, a woman like with feathers looking like a bird or something. And or you into this Nubian stuff, some busted singer comes up with some philosophy and he's a damn pedophile really at heart because he ends up getting arrested for trafficking in young girls. Dr. York, what are you doing? That ain't no different than worshiping a turd. Because when you really look at it, guess what? The Most High looks at all those philosophies and things. Looks at it as what? Garbage.
Exactly.
Matter of fact, let me read a scripture. The reason I say that is because I'm going to read a scripture in Titus. Bear with me for a second. I got to find it now that I said it. Hold on, I got to find it real quick. Now that I said it, because I don't want, he's just being, he's being vulgar. Or he's being vulgar. Let me find it real quick. Bear with me for a second, Blog Talk.
All right.
Unless you got something else, go ahead. I'll get the scripture. Go ahead, bro.
Yeah, because I did want to hit, you talked about, the Black Lives Matter thing and,
right.
You know, we list all of these issues as to, what about this and what about that, and if God loved us, then, why would all of these things be happening to us? And it goes back to a point, and it's in Ezekiel. Now you got me looking for scripture, too.
What is that?
It explains why, we see the condition that we are in as far as,
right.
These cops and things like that. It goes into us how the most, Israel is like for a prey unto all of these nations. And it's because we don't have that protection from the Most High because of our sins and wickedness. Give me one second. Now let me hold you up if you find the one you're looking for.
I got the scripture that I was looking for. It says like worshiping God. Let's look at what Paul said in Philippians 3. I always get it mixed up with Titus. I go to Titus 3. Philippians 3, verse 8. It says, "Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, from whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I might win Christ." So, what he said was, when he mentioned that word dung, it's a turd. Listen, if it's not dealing with the excellency of Christ and the edification thereof, what it is in our lives, it should be looked at as dung. All those things that I mentioned, they are like dung in the eyes of the Most High, because they have no benefit, no edification, no value, no merit for our people when you're dealing with those philosophies. You can march and vote all you want. When you're dealing with these things, with these people, these wicked, evil, base people, that the Most High is what? Putting and planting in our lives, because we won't simply turn. You're not going to get a good result. It's just going to be more the same, and we're going to be what? Look it, we have a black president for 8 years. This year, during his reign, if it was so good, where's the Justice Department investigation on all these killings of these black folks just getting executed because the statement that the mass media keeps putting out there like it's a death penalty when you don't comply? I didn't know noncompliance was a death penalty. But where's the Justice Department under this black man's watch coming, arresting and charging these cops with murder that's killing people for not complying? All they got, he didn't comply. So that's a death penalty. The murder rate in Chicago is like, it's like they trying to hit the World Guinness record book. People do things. Oh, yeah, we could do it like the brother just did that rap thing for I don't know how many hours to hit the World Guinness record book. That's what it seems like our people doing in Chicago. Oh, man, you know what? I think we could make 1,000 this year.
Exactly. I mean,
that's the mentality of our people, because they'll do anything. And I don't give a damn how much voting you do. If the heart, mind is not changed and it stays on, stuck on stupid, disregarding, being ignorant of the will of the Lord and not repenting, you're going to have that and worse. Did you get that scripture, bro?
No, I haven't just yet.
Okay. So I'm going to just go ahead. I'm going to keep forging on, brother. So now, when we look at this, right, we're dealing with, believe it or not, the lesser of two evils with this voting stuff. Because you hear people say that. I make a point. I was like, yo, I was telling my one cousin, Bill or Trump, together and combined, ain't worth two squirrel farts and a quarter. Why would I vote for, well, you know what? It's the lesser of two evils. But the title of the show is Picking the Lesser of Two Evils. You still got what, at the end of the day? Evil. So what the hell are you doing? You trusting in what? Your flesh or flesh. You making man your strength. That's not what we're supposed to be doing. The hell with the voting and their voting system. That ain't going to do nothing for you. It's the Lord above that will be your strength when you what? Repent. That's going to be your power. And that's what we have to understand. So now, did you find it yet, Op?
I'll let you know.
Okay, so now what I want to do is I want to go, one of the big things, what? Do we trust in the Lord and let him be our strength and might? No, we don't do that. What do we trust in? I'm going to go to this scripture right here, Isaiah 30. Let's look at one of our problems. What does the scripture say? Isaiah 30, 12. All right, you know what? I'm going to start up because it's real good. I'm going to start at Isaiah 30, verse 9, an old camp scripture. I used to read this all the time. Isaiah 30, verse 9. Now, mind you, we read out of the Old Testament, but he's still talking to his people, that heritage that he gave us through what? The lineage and the covenants that he made with Abraham, our father, that went to Isaac, that went to Jacob, that went to the 12 sons, and that their progeny is the ones that this is meant for. He's talking to us. Why? Because we do anything but accept his word, his will. Anything. Anything under the sun but Christ and the Most High. This is why, Isaiah 30 and 9, that this is a rebellious people, lying children, children that will not hear the law of the Lord, which say to the seers, see not, and to the prophets, prophesy not unto us right things, speak unto us smooth things, prophesy deceits. Why are you always down on Marcus Garvey? Why you talk bad about Martin Luther King? Why you talk bad about the pastor of the churches that's ripping off the people and taking money and teaching them lies? Why you do that? You're supposed to speak positive, brother. Why you talk about people that wear oxen that's into comedic science? Why would you do that? You shouldn't do that. I thought the Bible was all about love and peace, brother. That's what they want you to do. But that's not what we're supposed to do. We're not trying to insult you. We're not arguing. We're not debating. We're just telling you the will of the Lord. Because what do you want? You want the seers, the prophets, to speak unto us smooth things and prophesy what? Lies and deceits. That's why Joel Osteen, T.D. Jakes, and the like, Joyce, whatever, Smith or whatever her damn name is, I forget her name, woman chick and a blonde one that had the husband she divorced and who took over the other dude's church that died. I'm forgetting these people's names.
You
but
know what,
this is why those places are full of mega churches. Why? Because they got deceased. What you say now?
I said if Anthony's here, he probably can tell you exactly what you're talking about. I have no clue.
Exactly, right. So they want to hear deceit. They don't want to hear the truth because they want to do anything but do the Lord and Christ. Then it says, verse 11, get ye out of the way. Turn aside out of the path. Cause the Holy One of Israel to cease from before us. More than not, this is what's been done in this earth. Because the church has been so corrupted and so perverted that when you mention the Bible in a lot of places among our people, it's like someone took a right fart in the room and they just run. They don't even want to hear. You say Bible, oh, what the hell is that? And they go running. This is how much this word has been perverted. And Satan has done a good job and his minions have been very helpful. Right? So it says, wherefore thus saith the Holy One of Israel, because ye despise this word and trust in oppression and perverseness and stay thereon, Therefore, this iniquity shall be to you as a breach ready to fall, swallowed out in a high wall, whose breaking cometh suddenly at an instant. All the troubles and things that we've had. We think that the fact that we had hoses sprayed on us in Selma, Alabama, we got beat, lynched, and hung for so-called looking at a white woman in this country, or the fact that we had to be rooted out of our homeland in Israel and flow into Asia Minor and Africa, that's all connected, whether you know it or not. The fall of Jerusalem, Selma, Alabama, and the lynching and all the things that we know over here. Because we got abused in the what? Slave markets in Brazil, which they had a bigger slave trading going on than anywhere else in the world. All those things happen to us because what? We make man our what? Rest. And we think that we're going to vote our way out of this? We think we're going to vote our way out of being shot like dogs and cats, dogs and wolves and coyotes in the street by voting. We think Hillary Clinton is going to get us out of that. We think she's going to make it better. Why? Because she says she was? That's the ridiculous, like, ignorance of our people and the wickedness. Why? We love our oppressors. Bill Clinton and Hillary Clinton are the biggest oppressors of our people than has ever been, probably ever been in government. Look at the legacy of the 1994 crime bill. Just look at that. You said generation, Kabar. No, generations of our people been locked up just because of what? That policy, right?
Definitely.
So,
I mean,
we trust in those people, though, bro. And we stubborn. We stay on that oppression and perverseness. We're going to deal with some perverseness in a minute. Go ahead, bro. You got something? Go ahead.
I mean, you keep talking about Hillary,
hey,
but listen, brother. Didn't
Isaiah 42 and 22, bro.
I know.
I'm sorry.
I got it.
You got it? Okay, go ahead.
But
go
you
ahead.
Keep talking about Hillary. Listen, Jay-Z and Beyonce had a concert, and didn't Beyonce tell you that she's with her, meaning Hillary?
Yeah.
So what's your,
yeah.
So what's your problem, bro?
I don't know.
Bro, listen. This is the whole basis entirely that people are making their judgments on, because they figure celebrities say, you know what, get out there and do this. What I'm telling you, vote for this person, vote for that person. But you mentioned all of the things about the slave trade, and we just being dragged from pillar to post, and then we ask the question, you know, what's going on? You know, if there was a guy, why would we be in this situation, or why would a guy let this happen, or all of the other foolish and unlearned questions that we would ask. But let's just hit the scripture and get the understanding. Isaiah 42, I'm going to start at verse 18. It says, "Hear ye deaf, and look ye blind, that ye may see." Verse 19. "Who is blind but my servant?" This is the Most High talking about Israel. "Who is blind but Israel, or deaf as my messenger that I sent? Who is blind as he that is perfect, and blind as the Lord's servant, seeing many things, but thou observest not, opening the ears, but he heareth not." So we got eyes, but cannot see, ears, but cannot hear, minds, but we cannot comprehend. It says, verse 21, "The Lord is well pleased for his righteousness' sake. He will magnify the Lord and make it honorable." That's ultimately what's going to happen in this earth when the Most High sends Christ to establish the kingdom. The law is going to be magnified. The law is the way we're supposed to live our lives, the way we're supposed to think, how we're supposed to interact. It's not just some set of codes that we're supposed to read off and click off throughout the day. No, it's the way we're supposed to exist. That's going to be magnified in the earth when Christ comes back. But I'll go on. It says, "But this is a people robbed and spoiled. They are all of them snared in holes, and they are hid in prison houses. They are for a prey, and none delivereth, for a spoil, and none saith restore." So we talk about this stuff going down with the cops and people just getting gunned down in the street. It's like the cops are hunting Negroes, like the cops are just hunting black people. like you would hunt deer or an ox and just, you know, throw it in the back of your truck and then, you know, it's not a big deal. But we look at that situation and we say, what's going on? Our people are being hunted down and killed like animals. That's exactly what the scripture says. What happened? We hit in prison houses. Who fill up the prison house? Chinese people? No. Our people fill up the prison houses. So when you look at the scriptures and when you look at Deuteronomy 28, when the Most High said these curses are going to be for a sign and for a wonder, it's going to be, you're going to be able to look at these curses and say, who does that fit? What race of people? What group of people do that fit? It is going to be impossible to come to a different conclusion. But those one people, so-called blacks and the rest of us scattered in the four corners of the earth, because here's the thing about the sign. No matter where we are, anywhere in the earth, the same conditions apply. The same curses are there.
Right.
So I go on. Hid in the prison houses, they are for a prey and none deliberate, for a spoil and none saith restore, meaning no justice. You just mentioned about the Justice Department. Obama, black man, been in office for almost a decade, and yet you have more brutality than you had under Giuliani in New York.
Exactly.
So let's not get it twisted. So there is no justice there, because there's none that say restore, meaning justice being served. Verse 23, who among you will give ear to this? Who will hearken and hear for the time to come? Verse 24, who is Jacob? Who gave Jacob for a spoil and Israel to the robbers? So who allowed these conditions to Who allowed these conditions to be? Why is this happening? Okay, what does it say? Did not the Lord, he against whom we have sinned? There's your answer. So when you talk about getting gunned down in the street, why did that happen? Because the protection, the grace of the Most High is not on you. The protection and grace of the Most High is not there. And because it's not there, all of these things are happening. So the Most High is allowing it to happen, not for no reason, but because of sin and transgression. Because who are we going into? Murdering, hatred, variance, dissimulation, adultery, fornication, all of these things.
Idolatry.
Exactly. Making worshiping man.
Right.
So it says, who gave Israel, who gave Jacob for a spoil and Israel to the robbers? Did not the Lord, he against whom we have sinned, for they would not walk in his ways, neither were they obedient unto his laws. So if that's the reason we're in this condition, then what is the remedy to get out of it? Vote? No. The remedy is not going to be voting, because voting didn't get you into this. Go ahead, brother.
No, you got to vote out, because people gave their lives.
No, you got to stand in line for 2 hours, press 6 buttons, and then freedom comes at the end of the ticket. And make sure you get a valid image so they record it the right way. No, brothers and sisters, if sin got us into this problem, the repentance through Christ and applying the commandments is what's going to get us out. That's the point.
Right. And that's the thing, that our people are going to do anything but that, repent. Because that means you got to do something. It's more to it than standing out with a sign saying Black Lives Matter. It's more to it than, as we find out from WikiLeaks, getting a paycheck from somebody to go protest somewhere. It's more to it than that. So now, when we look at this, right, I read a scripture. And it said, wherefore, in Isaiah 30 and 12, wherefore, thus saith the Holy One of Israel, because ye despise this word, and trust in oppression and perverseness, and stay thereon. So we love our oppressors. We trust in man. We trust in oppression, right? Even our people, right? What was the first complaint Moses and the Most High did, move heaven and earth to free our people from under the bondage of Pharaoh, right? He made signs turn black. You can't see frogs, boils, the waters bled, all these great things that the people saw, right? And this is how much, when it says we the people that trusted our oppression, Moses, you and the Most High brought us out here to the wilderness to die.
That's what we said.
That's what we said, ain't it? Now, it's funny how we have a real, like, love-hate relationship with the white man. Because now, you just said the reason we were oppressed and went into captivity and these things happened, why we were given to the robbers and spoiled, did not the Lord do it? So what do most of our people, even people that claim to be of the heritage of Jacob, they blame who? The white man, don't they?
Exactly.
So he must be the Lord then.
you know what? A lot of people look at him that way.
Huh?
You got a lot of people who actually, they may not say it by words, but in the actions, they treat him like he is the Lord.
Exactly. And this is the thing. We know there's only one God. That's what Ephesians says, with one Lord, one baptism, one calling. And it's in this Bible. But because you stuck on perverseness. Okay, let's look at an example of this. You stuck on perverseness, and you love your oppression. So I want to play something now. It's a shame I have to do this, but I couldn't cut it. We wouldn't be able to make sense out of it. If you have any virgin ears around, even when you're looking at the pictures, if you're on the internet, because I took clips of the concert. Now, realize I'm going to play an excerpt from a political rally concert for Hillary Clinton. And it featured Jay-Z, Hova, Jigga, or whatever the nickname is. Yo, you're going to have to help me out, Kabar, because I'm kind of lost. Beyonce, J. Cole, Chance the Crap Rapper. His name is Chance the Rapper, but he ain't no damn rapper like I know rappers. So I call him Chance the Crap Rapper. And Big Sean. That was the lineup. Now, it was a free concert, and they because it was there, that's the joke. Beyonce alone can fill up a 60,000-seat stadium. You had Jay-Z, Beyonce, and all the people I named, and they couldn't even fill up the arena in the middle of Cleveland, Ohio. Right? But I'm going to play excerpts of the thing, so I'm giving you a chance to clear out if you have virgin ears, because I just want people to hear some of the stuff in this political thing that's going to have our solve our problems, getting the vote out. I want you to listen to some of the stuff we as a people say. Remember I said we stuck on perverseness. Let's see if this is a kind of understanding of that. I just want y'all to listen to some of the stuff, Seth. And I'll clear up some of the stuff for y'all.
Jay-Z, I mean, he's supposed to be some popular rap star, and they were expecting him to be able to pull in a large crowd in order to make it look like Hillary Clinton has more support than she actually does. It's important to note here that this concert was free. There was no monetary charge.
Sing this! She deserved that. She a bird. It's a bird check. You think if I didn't rap, she'll flirt back. Take it. hanging up a skirt and let her wear my shirt for CDs. Nigga, you know how it come. One time for my LA sisters. One time for my lame niggas can't tell the difference. One time for a nigga who they don't save her. Don't save her. Don't save her.
Okay. So,
wow.
All right. Now, this was at a political rally, right? It's our people. Talk about stuck-up perversions. Let me just give you some of the stuff. I had to look at this. You know, I don't deal with rap, this crap they call rap now. So I didn't even know who these people are. So you got J. Cole in the beginning talking about he got some foreign bees in his car sucking and swallowing. I'll leave your imagination. To up to you out there in blog talk land to understand what they're sucking and swallowing. Jay-Z comes out with that song, Niggas Get It Right and Bees Get It Right. Except he didn't say bees. Big Sean says, I don't give a F about you, dumb B-I-T-C-H, dumb hoe, ain't effing with you. J. Cole comes back to add on about some song where he says, you a bird and this is a bird trap. You got caught. You don't deserve to be saved. Do she deserve to be saved? No, she don't want to be saved. Now, these are women, mostly women in the audience, chanting out, she don't want to be saved, so I'm going to screw her. We going to rape her, and I might give her a shirt before she leave, but I'm going to take it back. She don't want to be saved. That's the chorus. No. Should I save her? She don't want to be saved. Something like that. They were chanting, she don't want to be saved. Right? Now, this is the thing now. Could you imagine? Just picture this. If Donald Trump and his son at this concert and the stuff, nigga, bitches, hoes, hello to my LA hoes, all this dumb hoes, I ain't effing with you. Dumb bitches, I'm not effing with you. And that stuff was said. What would people be doing if Donald Trump was at a concert like that?
It'd be headline news.
Right. But it's Hillary. We love her. We stuck. Because we stuck on perverseness, bro. And we can't get out of it. Right? I'm not even saying Trump, like I said. Him and Cleary both, in my eyes, they're not worth two squirrel farts and a quarter mixed together, combined. They ain't got no worth in my life compared to the one we supposed to be dealing with, right? But this is the icons of our society, so-called being black in America, right? But it gets better, though. I want to play something, and then I'll let you comment after I play this. Because Hillary has some comments at the concert. So let's just listen.
Without further ado, I would like to introduce to you the next president of the United States, Hillary Clinton.
Thank you all, and thanks to Jay-Z and Beyonce.
That as long as we're together, we're much stronger. Tell these niggas we don't want no problems.
You don't have zero problems, big fella.
J. Cole.
Anybody is a killer, all you gotta do is push it to the pit. Fuck being timid, in the civic politicking with the pushes in the pit. I'm trying to write a story, can I get a clip? Hey, can I get a...
Big Sean.
Look, I tell the man, do whatever I say. My life be like I'm coming up the driveway.
When I see them here, this passion and energy and intensity, I don't even know where to begin, because this is what America is, my friend. And I thank Jay for addressing in his music some of our biggest challenges in the country.
The fourth challenge is to take back our streets from crime, gangs, and drugs. We need to take these people on. They are often connected to big drug cartels. They are not just gangs of kids anymore. They are often the kinds of kids that are called super predators. No conscience, no empathy. We can talk about why they ended up that way, but first we have to bring them to heel.
So, that's what we were listening to. We were listening to the concert, comments she was making, and after she thanked each artist, it was a clip that's inserted with the artist she was thanking. The one dude was talking about dumb broads showing up to his place. She tried to give him the coochie, and he might let his crew bang her. That was Big Sean. Then she said she wouldn't thank J. Cole. He was talking about murder and killing niggas, right? Then she said thanks to Jay-Z about him speaking and making social commentary or the things he was going on. That clip, he was saying, put a middle finger up to law enforcement and how he's slinging dope. He's got his rocks and his stash and this and this and that. That's what life is. So, I mean, then you had her talk about criminal justice reform, but then you had the clips about her talking about young black men were super predators. This was what she was saying when they were passing that 1994 crime bill. And they had to be bought to heel. That's a term you use when you train dogs, being somebody that's familiar with dogs. You make your dogs heel, not people. But in her mind, I guess the association for black men and dogs kind of came close together, and that was her wording. Now, remember, this is the kind of madness that we stick to because we trust our oppressors, like Isaiah said in Isaiah 30 and verse 12. He says, we love our oppressors. We trust in that oppression. And then what do? We stuck and stay on perverseness. So this is what we get. This is the lesser of two evils in most black folks' mind. Go ahead, bro. You take the floor and you can comment on that. I know it was a whole lot. You bring out the scriptures you want.
Yeah. And like you say, you know, now, whether it's Hillary Clinton or Donald Trump, you know, our salvation will lie in neither one. But the thing is, people try to make these lines of demarcation where, well, this one is less evil than that one, or this one is better than that one, whatever, based on what they're saying. But you know, Hillary Clinton, of course, in the last week has been campaigning about how offensive Donald Trump is and the things he say about women and all of these things that were so bad, just the way he presents stuff. And we got, you know, our daughters and our woman and all of this argument going on. But then she has a concert by all of these rappers and Beyonce to endorse her. And all they're talking about in the rap is the bitches and hoes, and I'm going to rape this one, and I'm going to sleep with that one, and I'm going to shoot some niggas, and all of this stuff is going on. And then she comes on the stage and say, well, these are the challenges that we face, and I'm glad they're here to give me this concert. And it's like, wait, how does that make sense to anyone who's thinking? So let me just hit the scripture, because you know, we get stuck on, it's like a football game. You know, you're rooting for your team. And it don't matter what the person do. You know, it could be any given Sunday where the dude just take out the gun and shoot somebody. But you know what? He's my teammate, so, you know, I'm a ride or die, whatever. And we're not supposed to be like that. But let's look at the things, examine what's being said here. And all of the communication that came out. And how is that going toward edification? Because what we should be judging by is actually what the scripture says. So 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 33, it says, be not deceived, evil communication corrupt good manners.
Wow.
So when you look at what a person says, right, and how that's going to affect the listener or who's taking heed to it, if you're saying evil, wicked, and perverse things, if somebody take heed to that, then they're going to go forth and try to emulate or do those things that you're saying. And that's how good manners are going to be corrupt. because people are going to be influenced by the things that are being said, and that's where the problem comes in at. Also, we can hit Ephesians, because it goes even more to the point. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 29, it says this, "Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers." So that scripture is letting us know, listen, if we're going to speak, number one, it got to be according to the commandments. And the things that we're saying supposed to be edifying, meaning give people the understanding and how to live their life the right way according to Christ, in a nutshell. Not about you a nigga and you a hoe and I'm going to shoot this person and I'm going to get money by selling drugs and I'm going to be wearing bling bling and it doesn't matter how what I do to achieve or to get these things as long as I get it. It's like the 50 Cent album cover, Get Rich or Die Trying. And you know how many people are following that right now as the gospel? who see, listen, it doesn't matter by what means I obtain these things so long as I obtain it. And that's the problem. So we got to watch our communication. We got to watch the things that we're saying. And we certainly shouldn't be endorsing people who speak wickedness or have people who speak wickedness endorsing us. Okay? We don't want to have anything to do with that kind of stuff. That was it.
Wow, good. Very good. Very good. So you know what, bro? I want to get this last part in, but you covered that pretty good about the evil communication, because that's right up the alley, because that's what the problem is. And see, people don't understand that's a tool of Satan. Mass media is, you know, because what happens through the medium or mediums or and the way they use them, they spread these messages out. Just like, you know, like, okay, I was around when you saw the jump in violence go when they started the gangster rap and the gangster movies. Everybody was in the clique. You had the Bloods and the Crip go from the East Coast to West Coast all the way through the Middle America to the East Coast and over in Japan and Germany. How did that happen? Because they saw the things what portrayed and it struck those evil communications. What? Corrupted the manners of the people. You have Bloods and Crips all over the world shooting and banging, right?
Exactly.
This is the thing that they do. That's why that's an important thing to understand. That idiot box we use, the things we listen to, the medium that they put out there, it's a tool of Satan. And well, you watch Darkness to Light. We have Darkness to Light shows on Wednesdays on Blog Talk Radio. They cover a lot of that. I know they had shows covering that. By how they use the medium to program you and brainwash you. And that's an important thing we have to know. What are you listening to? And how is it affecting you? Right? So now this is the thing. We're still dealing with the... I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, I just had a scripture to hit on that point, but I could wait.
Go ahead. No, go ahead. Go ahead, because I'm going to move on to something else, and we're going to close it out in a minute.
Okay, because it's very important going into that part about the mediums. And, you know, when you talk about media, all right, and how that's being used, because when you listen to, you know, our sister shows going into Darkness to Light and how all of these forms of media, movies, radio, internet, magazines, billboards, all of it is using as a lesser magic of spell casting on people and putting demons and spirits on people. And people got to be aware of it and understand what's going on. And I'm not talking hocus pocus. I'm talking realness. When you go to Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 2, it says this. Wherein in time past, ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. So when you talk about the prince of the power of the air, and as a matter of fact, I took it, there was a billboard sign that actually went into that exact scripture, and it was so wicked. It was just wickedness and pain sight. Plain sight, it had a radio tower, and it says, "We own the air." But anyway, this principle of the power of the air is how Satan uses all of these forms of media to influence, to guide, to put thoughts and suggestions into people's mind, and to overcome them with wickedness and evil that is in the world to influence them to break the commandments of the Lord. And we have to be on guard from things like that. Here it is. It's like this. Real clear example. This, whether it's on TV, you hear a little song or whatever, and then what you say? Damn, I can't get that song out of my head.
Exactly.
What do you think that is? That's that foul suggestion. That's that wicked, evil influence. That's the prince of the power of the air, which is Satan, using all of these multiple forms of media to cast spells, to influence, and to guide people into wicked and unclean things. And that's what we have to be aware of. That was it, bro.
Good. So the thing about it is these things that we come up with, trusting in man arm, with this voting thing, if people lose their damn mind with this voting thing, look at you as an alien when you say, I don't vote. What does it mean? It's vanity. It's vain. The hell is that going to do for me? They ain't going to do a damn thing for me. So, but what are you picking when you say, this thing kills me? Well, you know, I know they're not perfect. She's got her issues. That chick can't even hardly stand up. She's always fainting and falling out and stuff. Oh, yeah, you know, she's a liar. Oh, yeah, but she's the lesser of two evils, though. But as this show is saying, you still pick an evil. Picking the less of two evils still equals, at the end of the day, you pick an evil. And should we be doing that? Now, we're looking at what we're picking. I want to play this clip here. This is something that came out in the WikiLeaks. So bear with me. Let's listen to this and we'll close out.
Hillary Clinton's campaign manager, John Podesta, attends weird occult dinner parties where blood, semen, and breast milk are used in ritualistic ceremonies. No, this isn't a fake news story. It's absolutely real. And there you were thinking Podesta's UFO obsession was his weirdest hobby. In an email dated June 28, 2015, performance artist Maria Abramovich wrote to Podesta's brother Tony and said, I'm so looking forward to the spirit cooking dinner at my place. Do you think you will be able to let me know if your brother is joining? Tony Podesta then forwarded the email to John Podesta, asking him, are you in NYC Thursday, July the 9th? Marina wants you to come to dinner. Here's Marina inviting Podesta directly. So what is spirit cooking? It's basically a Wiccan ceremony where blood is used to create some form of art as a sacrament to occult beliefs. Spirit cooking is also an occult practice used during sex cult rituals, as explained in the book Spirit Cooking with Essential Aphrodisiac Recipes. According to Maria Abramovich, if the ritual is performed in an art gallery, it's merely art. But if the ritual is performed privately, as it was with the Podestas, then it represents an intimate spiritual ceremony. So how is Hillary tied to all this insane weirdness? Well, for one, Podesta is her campaign chairman and they move in the same circles. Maria Abramovich was invited to Hillary's campaign launch, and Hillary herself is also known to be into bizarre paranormal practices. Clinton used to hold seances in the White House to try and contact dead people like Eleanor Roosevelt and Mahatma Gandhi. Bill Clinton's book also talks about how him and Hillary used to participate in voodoo rituals in Haiti. Hillary's mentor is Saul Alinsky, who in his book Rules for Radicals praises Lucifer. Should it really surprise us that FBI agents refer to Hillary Clinton as the Antichrist? And if you thought that was weird enough, I haven't even talked about the accusations of child trafficking and pedophilia, which some claim is coded into the Podesta emails under the guise of types of food.
So when you look at this thing, right, her chief of staff or head of her campaign manager is into this bloodletting, mixing sperm, breast milk, urine, and doo-doo, and whatever the hell else they mix in, and concoctions and using it in some ceremony, they'd be eating it too. Unfortunately, I had to go and suffer through looking at the WikiLeaks and seeing some of the stuff, right? Then this guy is also, through the WikiLeaks, these WikiLeaks are kicking the hell out of these people because it's just showing them how the elites of our societies are all into this stuff. They had this thing break out in London year before last, this James Savile thing with a presenter that died. They tried to put it on him, but it didn't go away. The royals and all the tops of parliament are into this pedophilia stuff, right? So I'm looking at a John Podesta email, right? And it's this coding. Hot dog equals boy. Pizza equals girl. Cheese equals little girl. Pasta equals little boy. Ice cream, male prostitute. Walnut Person of Color Map Semen Sauce Orgy. And they have these pizza parties and they talking about food and it's cold talk for pedophilia. Now, we probably would have never got this if New York City Police Department didn't run across this on another pervert's computer, that Anthony Weiner guy that can't get enough of showing his wiener. But they found this stuff, and because of New York City is what it is and where it is, very experienced investigators, they know all this stuff because they deal with cases like this. But this is what you're dealing with, occultists and child pedophiles. You know, you got, not to mention, you got Epstein is another friend of Bill and Hillary's. He's got pedophile islands that they go travel through. Hillary's been in the last 7 or 8 years at least 6 times that they know of. Bill, her husband, has been like over 30 times to go to these places and have sex with these people. They all say there's information and understanding that they got pictures and whatnot and incriminating evidence of Bill and Hillary having sex with minors, right? This is what was in that New York City raid that they did, right? But this is the lesser of two evils. So you know what? Donald Trump must be really, really, you know, Donald Trump must actually be Baphomet or Satan himself if this is the lesser of two evils. You think our people give a damn about Hillary and this stuff? They don't care because they've been brainwashed and told what? To do this, to vote for Hillary, right? So I got one scripture I want to read real quick, and then I'll let you close out. We got like 3 minutes left, right? I got a scripture I want to read real quick. What's the problem with our people when we do these things, right? What we do? Isaiah, once again, 28:15 reads, because ye have said, we have made a covenant with death, and with hell are we at agreement. When the overflowing scourge shall pass through, it shall not come unto us, for we have made lies our refuge, and under falsehood have we hid ourselves. That's what our people trust in. And then they want to know, wonder why the things happen to us that happen to us. So, Kabar, go ahead, man. You can take the last 2 minutes, man. And just close out with your commentary.
Well, yeah. You know, we look at these things and we see all the wickedness that's going on. And we got to understand. Now, this is a woman looking to be president of the United States of America and basically a world over a world power. But this is what happens at the upper echelons of society. It happened in Babylon when you look, read it in Daniel chapter 4. Verses 4 on down to 7, when King Nebuchadnezzar had a troubling dream, and he called in his wise men, Daniel 4 and 6, therefore made I decree to bring in all the wise men of Babylon before me, that they may make known unto me the interpretation of the dream. So when these high-level diplomatic people are looking for guidance, where do they go? Who did Babylon, the greatest, one of the greatest, wickedest nations on the earth, who did he call in? When he called the wise men, who came? Verse 7. Then came in the magicians, the astrologers, the Chaldeans, and the soothsayers. And I told the dream before them, but they did not make known unto me the interpretation thereof. So when you talk about the high level, who's actually advising these world leaders, it's witches and warlocks and demons and soothsayers and astrologers and magicians. That's who they follow. That's who they get anointed by. That's who gives them guidance into matters of state and in secret matters. But it shows you here, right in that scripture, that they have no understanding, and that's why the world is in the state that it is in today. But let's get to the commandment of the Most High and the condemnation on these things and all everything alike. Deuteronomy chapter 18 and verse 10, it says, there shall not be found among you anyone that maketh his son or his daughter to pass through the fire, meaning sacrificing your children unto idols. It says, all that uses divination, which is what that Abramovich lady does, divination, or an observer of times, the astrologers, or an enchanter, the spellcasters, or a witch, those who deal in all of these arts, verse 11, or a charmer, or a consulter with them. A consultant with familiar spirits. Those are the seances that Hillary Clinton was doing in the White House. It says, "Oi wizard, oi necromancer, those who deal with the dead." Verse 12. "For all that do these things are an abomination unto the Lord. And because of these abominations, the Lord thy God doth drive them out from before thee." That's how nations fall. And just like Babylon fell, and Medo-Persia fell, and Greece fell, and we in the latter ends of the Greco-Roman period now, is the same way this nation is going to fall. And when you read Revelation, the 18th chapter, we are in spiritual Babylon, the whole of every foul and wicked and decrepit thing. And the Most High has appointed a time through Christ to bring the judgment of all of this wickedness that's going on and exposing it, and his judgment is going to come in his due time. So we can't look to men, we can't look to so-called leaders or elections to save us or to grant us salvation. No, we got to look to Jesus Christ. We got to look to the sacrifice and the edification that he bought. We got to look to him as our high priest right now, where he is at the right hand of the Heavenly Father in the heavens, mediating between the nation of Israel and the Most High, so that we can gain that salvation, escape the wrath that is to come, and inherit the kingdom of heaven. That's what we need to focus on. That's going to be our salvation.
And with that, you summed it up very good. We're going to leave everybody with that. We say, Most High in Christ bless you all. May our people Israel hear this word and repent. And we're going to say, everybody have a good night, and we're going to say shalom.
The Body of Christ Church Radio Network broadcasts 7 days a week on blogtalkradio.com/theBOCC. Listen to our archive broadcasts or check us out while we are live on the air. Come and visit us in the virtual living room at 2 o'clock p.m. on Sundays, where we examine current topics according to the scriptures. Are you looking for the truth? Can you handle the truth? Find out on Mondays at 8 o'clock p.m. It doesn't matter what church you attend or philosophy you believe, take the challenge to see, are you smarter than your pastor, on Tuesdays at 8 o'clock p.m. The world is engrossed in darkness, but it shall be destroyed by the light. Check out From Darkness to Light at 7 o'clock p.m. on Wednesdays, where all manner of witchcraft, occult practices, and Satanism is exposed for what it is. Before the light comes, it's time to awake on Thursdays at 8 o'clock p.m. If you are seeking salvation, listen to Repentance is the Key, Fridays at 7 o'clock p.m. And after you've listened to all of these shows, find out how we will become kings and priests, Saturday mornings at 9 o'clock a.m. All shows are on Eastern Standard Time. Remember to check out the Body of Christ Church 7 days a week on blogtalkradio.com/theBOCC. That's blogtalkradio.com/THEBOCC. Shalom.